This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Telephone number, if you would like to join us, is 603-283-6160. If you get a busy signal, please keep trying. We've got several calls on hold right now. We'll get to those in just a moment. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain,
Nikki,
and Richie Rich.
I want to tell you all that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than one cent per transaction, less than one penny. And its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a tech standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from a 51% attack by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and easy to use. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn all about Dash. Again, Dash.org. All right, without further ado, let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name, please?
Hey, it's Ron.
Hey, Ron, what's on your mind?
Well, it's really quick. I mean, I just hope everybody at Free Speech Live has peace, love, and happiness and non-aggression, and I hope everything goes well for Ian.
Oh,
but I was curious, you said Arya went to, is it jail or prison?
Prison.
Okay, how much time did she have to take?
18 months was her sentence.
Oh, man. Well, that's better than 5 years. I was thinking like 5 years or something, man. I hope everything goes all right, man. And y'all have a beautiful day.
Hey, we appreciate you, Ron. Thanks for the call tonight. When did Arya go in? It's been
the end
months,
of June.
Right? So June, July, August, September. So 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. Okay. I know that I personally was hoping that there would be more delays with Ian's trial before his sentencing came up, so we'd be a little closer to Arya getting out.
Yeah.
Kind of
I mean,
thing,
you mentioned Arya maybe getting out in April.
Yes.
Like
very very
okay.
Rarely do people spend the whole sentenced amount of time in prison. She's thinking maybe April, but that's not set in stone.
Okay.
But that's kind
that's
of
like
suspicious.
Good behavior type
cool.
Of stuff.
Cool, and then
right,
when she's
know.
Released, she'll be on house arrest
right,
for
okay.
an... You know, I don't know if that's already, like, official.
House
how
or
long?
Probation or something will happen for
but
some period of time.
More than likely
I'm curious
arrest,
if it was
yeah.
optimism or just, like, she's got some sort of notice that this is likely to occur.
It's likely to occur.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, of course, you know, we're in hurry up and wait mode, so we'll continue to do that. Let's go to this unscreened caller. What's your name? You're on Free Talk Live.
This is Robert in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, Robert, what's on your mind?
I have two things. One is the improvement of technology, I do believe, will help in terms of getting the government to be more honest. I do believe that. I mean, just think of what's going on with the 1023 forms. We would have never known about all the things, the bad things that are going on if the banks didn't have to get those forms and actually make them available to
I don't know anything.
We make people fill out forms, we'll change government.
I mean, I don't know anything about that, but it definitely is. The development of technology definitely does. I don't know if it actually gives accountability, not really, but it's at least...
You can fill out a FOIA request.
Well, but you can see more of what's happening, right? Like, a lot of the injustices of the government and all of the corrupt things that are going on. I mean, you scroll on Twitter or Facebook or, you know, choose social media platform of your choice, and, you know, you can scroll through a ton of people exposing right. all of this government nonsense.
Yeah.
So if people are listening and if they're open to receiving that information, I mean, people are starting to wake up, which I do think is definitely due to the availability of this content.
Yeah, the information is out there, and I've heard, I think even you've said this before, that, like, if you want to look into it, the information exists. It's very available to you. If you want to look into what is government, where does it come from, where does it get its power, why is it violent, why is it coercive, right? All of the information on that exists and is readily available.
Okay.
It's getting people to look into it that is where we run into the issue, because there's this cognitive dissonance from basically public schooling, near as I can tell, that kicks in where people don't want to know the
or
actual
they just
truth.
Don't care. There's
Guantanamo
so many
is
people.
Still open, right?
Still open.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. The kids in cages, still kids in cages.
All right.
They've moved them to military complexes now so that regular public can't get access to them.
And when they were going to do the quantitative easing a few years ago and everyone called in to their senators and it was like 98%, don't you guys do this? And they went ahead and did it anyway. Okay, that happened. Right?
Okay. Yep.
What do you call that? The Miranda effect.
The Mandela effect. The Bernstein Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not misremembering this.
Like, nope, that happened.
Guantanamo's still open, kids in cages, and bailouts still happen.
How are more forums going to help reform that, David? Robert, sorry.
Well, no, not just more forms. I'm talking about the technological improvements in total. Yes, the technological. We know we can communicate with each other right away. I mean, we could never have concentration camps that would be effective because people would have cell phones in their pockets, which they could.
You
see
already do. They get the kids in the cages, man.
Here's,
we know about those things.
Here's a technology.
And they're still in the cage.
There's already a technology that exists that's out there in the wild right now that governments and banks and, other governments, all governments actually, and all banks would love to shut down, that has the potential to completely replace bureaucracy as a whole, because it is a superior record-keeping system. And it's called the blockchain. It's the basis of Bitcoin technology, the basis of cryptocurrency technology. The blockchain is able to keep records far more accurately and truthfully than any government that has ever existed.
And now the government has FedNow.
So when it comes to things like, titling your car or the title to the deed of your property, stuff like that, that previously mankind kind of needed some way to, some siloed way, some official keeper of record to do that, right? And that's kind of been the excuse for why government needs to exist. Well, we need somebody to keep the records. We don't need that anymore because there is a superior technology. It's called the blockchain, and it can do everything the bureaucracy does and do it better. Like, governments are already beginning to adopt some features of the blockchain because it's the path of least resistance when it comes to doing the jobs that they are tasked to do, which is bureaucracy. So in that respect, you're onto something, but I don't think you're saying that about cryptocurrency, Robert.
Well, I'm talking about government in general. I hate to say it, but I do believe that government will always be a little necessary. We'll always need it because my grandfather...
We don't need it. It may always be so, but we don't need it.
Well, somebody's got to be in control of things in a kind of a way.
Why? Why?
Because it's just too complex at the top. I mean, you've got to
reject that premise. The fact that it is complex means you don't want one person controlling it from the top.
Well, you've got to have a small group or somebody at the very top
of
this country. Somebody's got to speak in an emergency or like the president.
Robert, you might feel
Billy Madison.
You might feel like some things are too complex for you to understand, and so you might look to something that resembles an expert in a field for guidance or help, or you might even employ a service to help you manage or understand this complex thing. But it is not necessary for there to be an overriding organization of violence telling everybody else how it's going to be. If you need help or leadership or guidance in some area, you're free to go seek that out. What you're not free to do is force me or anybody else to your preference.
And we don't need a speaker for the country because we don't need a country.
Well, the beauty of our system is that it has the three parts of government at the top that balance each other out. We have to have lots of checks and balances. And
how is that working?
It doesn't.
It's the best system that they could think of.
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
Blockchain's a much better system.
Oh, of course. I mean, we could incorporate the blockchain.
No system is better.
As a technical system that helps us. But you've got to have people in there at the top. You can't have machines taking care of everything.
I don't want machines to do it either.
Excuse me?
I don't want machines, and I don't want people at the top.
I think a lot of the stuff that government does that people are like, no, we need government to do all of this stuff, half of it doesn't actually need to be done.
Right.
First of all, and then the other half of it can be done voluntarily with private, you know, organizations or people, you know, like we can get the roads paved, we can take care of electricity,
water, security, sewage.
We
can have justice. I'm real curious to see, and Robert, thank you for the call. We appreciate you. I'm real curious to see what judicial services look like in a truly free market. What does that look like? What are the cooperative agreements? You know, what sorts of industries start incorporating this? What sorts of entrepreneurs step forward and say, hey, I've got an idea, let's try this?
I mean, to pretend like the system we have right now, especially in regards to the judicial system, to pretend that is an okay system where we have judges who used to be prosecutors who are on the same team as the cops who are arresting people and who are on the same team.
Paid by the same entity.
Yeah, getting paid by the same people who are paid by stolen money, by the way.
Yeah.
By the same people who are, I mean, it's just like everything is so interconnected. And to even pretend that might remotely be a fair system is absolute lunacy.
It is, yeah.
I mean, like, to even think for a second that might be fair.
Well, the likelihood is even your free market justice service is going to look similar, right? It's going to be like the arbiter or the group of arbiters looking at the case scenario between party A and party B, right? Looking at the contract that they had and what was supposed to have been done per the contract, and then issuing a ruling, right? And then, and what happens after that point, right, is the question of, well, how is that ruling enforced?
Right.
Right? And if they, you know, if parties agree to it and nothing needs to happen because, like, okay, I lost, I will comply with the ruling of the arbitrator, then no big deal.
Right.
But if they don't, then you're right back to the violence.
Sure. But you're still free to address that on an individual basis.
Yes.
Right?
I just don't think it's going to look significantly different. It's going to have different people sitting in
the middle. Well, no, I think it'll look a lot different. First of all, it'll be less expensive.
Okay.
Second of all, it's going to be more efficient.
Sure.
Third of all, the violence will be reduced.
Sure.
Because now you don't have the state being violent as a result of simply trying to intervene in these justice incidents.
But you're still going to have party A and party B in front of a group of arbitrators.
Yeah, but at the very least, there's not going to be an incentive for cops to arrest people and, you know, serve these charges or for people to be incarcerated. Right now, there is an incentive for more people to be in jail.
Yes.
Yes.
So at the very least, we won't have that, and we will have substantially less people in jail, and I doubt we will have people serving time for victimless crimes.
Sure.
Let's go to more of your calls and thoughts. We've got Jerome calling from South Carolina. Jerome, you're on Free Talk Live.
Trump train!
Choo-choo!
Greetings and salutations, as my old auto mechanics teacher used to say to us.
Hi, Jerome. How are you doing?
From time to time. Hey, I just
peace
to
the
say,
nations.
Yes. Hey, what are you supposed to do when the people that are in charge are corrupt and the people running to replace the people in charge are corrupt? Where does that leave you? And but that's not the only thing.
Vote harder next time.
Maybe we could fill out a form.
I wanted to mention something else, too.
Wait, okay, so what's the question, Gerald? Wait, hang on, what's the first question? Repeat your first question.
Captain wants a shot at it.
Are you going to? I got a story about a football player I need to bring up, too, though.
Well, ask your question. You did ask a question. I assume you wanted an answer to it.
Okay. My question was, you say the people in charge are corrupt. Well, what do you do when the people running to replace the people that are in charge are also corrupt?
Oh, that's an easy one.
Yeah, it's a crazy game. It's insane to play. The only proper solution is to not play.
You got no answers, of course.
I'll tell you my answer.
You're going to take your ball and go home.
There doesn't need to be anyone in power.
No. Everybody takes their ball and goes home simultaneously and ignores the bastards out of existence. That's entirely possible.
So all of the people in power, we just take them out of power, and then there's no one to replace them.
The answer to your question, Jerome, is get rid of the chair. The chair is the problem, the throne, right? You don't need a king. You don't need a ruler. You don't need a president. Be your own king. Be your own president. That's all everybody needs to do. We decentralize the power to where everybody is president of themselves, and now no one needs to vote anymore.
And a great line from a football movie, Jerome, kill them all, let the paramedics sort them out.
Yeah, right. That's a fatalistic viewpoint, if I've ever heard one. But no, I want to talk about Dak Prescott. I saw this story today because I hadn't seen or heard about
it. Hang on, Jerome. For those who don't know, Dak Prescott is a football player in the NFL.
Yeah.
Quarterback for the Cowboys, I believe.
Yeah. I'm a Cowboys fan. Your friend there, Richard Riggs, asked me, well, what football team do you like? Because he said he likes the Raiders. And I didn't tell him, you know. I was kind of playing.
He's playing hard to get.
I've been stewing on this all week.
He's been living rent-free inside Jerome's head for weeks.
No, you're not. I like the Cowboys, but I just saw a story about him on my phone today. He was under sedation for 11 hours because he wanted to get this tattoo on his leg. That has got to be one of the most ignorant damn things I have ever heard in my
life. I'm confused. What happened?
Wait, why is it ignorant to be sedated for a tattoo?
11
just man
hours.
Up, man.
Yeah, just get the tattoo.
Under sedation for 11 hours because of procedure because he wanted a leg tattoo.
I mean, let the guy get high for a minute, right? He plays NFL football.
No, he's sedated. He's just knocked out. He's dreaming.
That's kind of weird.
There's a difference between unconscious and sedated, right?
For 11
hours. When you get Novocaine in your mouth for the dentist, you aren't passed out. They just numb the side of your mouth, right? So sedation could just be they numbed his leg.
All right.
But that's not something you need to have, okay? When you have to have surgery to save your life or to, you know, to fix something that's wrong with you, yes. Sedation, I understand. But for a damn tattoo for 11 hours.
Why does this even bother you? I agree that it's dumb, but, like, again, like Captain's saying, why do you care? It's not really that big of a deal.
There's probably thousands of people who get tattoos on a daily basis that are like, hey, can I have some sedation? And they're like, sure.
No, that's weak.
Hey,
I'm just saying, it probably happens.
Very pusillanimous.
What is it about Dak Prescott, the football player, having
you're
this done that gets your goat?
Life. That's what the problem is.
What is it?
You only get one life.
So,
are you mad about the tattoo? Or are you mad about the risk?
When you're under sedation, anything can happen, and sometimes it's something bad, okay?
I mean,
it's something bad.
Okay,
you could die.
I think, so part of it is...
hours. I've never heard anything like that. That's ridiculous.
Jerome, I think part of it is a misunderstanding in the definition of sedation based on the way Captain just clarified it. Right? Do we know if Dak Prescott was unconscious or just numb?
Look, for a damn tattoo...
I get it, but the tattoo artists have numbing cream, and if that's what happened...
For sedation, it would have to go beyond, just... Like a nerve block or something that. Like they would
sedation.
Have to
like Novocaine.
But
when you get your teeth fixed.
But he might have just gotten a couple Xanax or something like that. You know what I mean?
Why do you need a tattoo?
Oh, who cares? It does not need to be justified.
Wait, weren't you in the military, Jerome?
Why do you need a tattoo?
Weren't you in the military? Didn't you get a tattoo?
Yeah, Nikki. Why do you need a tattoo?
I don't know.
I probably spent like.
I don't like Look, I don't like
down payment on a house.
I don't like
absolutely.
I don't like none of that stuff. Okay?
Well, then you're free to not get it. Why does somebody else getting a tattoo even enter your brain? Why does it get you? Why does it get your goat? Why does it irritate you so much that somebody other than you is getting a tattoo and was under sedation while they got it? Why do you even care?
Because this tattoo guy stole his girlfriend back in the 80s.
Why would you risk your life for something like that?
So honestly, I do not think they put him under anesthesia for this tattoo. They probably gave him like a Xanax or some sort of benzodiazepine that just made him feel
11 hours.
Horse tranquilizer.
Yeah, maybe he just wanted to get high, man. You know? Have you ever done drugs, man?
Also, like, are you risking your life to play football? He's a football player. You risk your life every day to get on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a super dangerous position. Yeah, that's a really dangerous sport.
Don't your career and your life mean anything? I know football's dangerous. I know that. He can quit any time he wants. He didn't need a damn tattoo. He didn't need that. You don't need that. You don't need the
tattoo. Why do you want to tell Dak Prescott that what he can and can't do?
Yeah,
I have a lot of things
probably
I don't
like a millionaire.
Need.
Like, what is your problem with somebody doing
don't
as
you
they please?
That when you're like that, anything could possibly happen. And sometimes it can be something bad. You could die.
Do you own anything that you don't need, Jerome?
I don't have piercings. I don't have tattoos.
That's not my question. Do you own anything that you don't need? Is there anything superfluous in your life?
Let me just turn.
It's a yes or no question, Jerome. It's a yes or no question. It's a yes or no question, Jerome.
I've had a couple of major surgeries. I know what I'm talking about.
I didn't ask anything about major surgeries. All I said is, do you own anything that you don't need? Anything superfluous in your life?
Probably not, but that's got nothing to do with doing it.
Sure it does. It absolutely does.
No, it doesn't.
It absolutely
it
does.
It does not.
You are a hypocrite, Jerome. You're a hypocrite.
You and owning something?
You are a hypocrite. Like you were saying that I can have things that I don't need, but Dak Prescott cannot have something he doesn't need.
Based on my judgment
on what is necessary and not.
I own shoes. I could probably walk around barefoot, but they damn sure don't have to put me under sedation for 11 damn hours.
I just don't get why you're so upset.
Maybe they should.
Well, hey, look, y'all from a different generation. Y'all think different, man. That's what it is.
Jerome needs some sedation.
Y'all don't care about y'all generation. Y'all
don't
want to be sedated.
Y'all
2024
hours ago.
That's what it is.
Did you have anything of value to say today then, Drew?
Oh, that was value. But then again, I understand you said you don't care about the people in Ukraine. So, hey, you know, what difference does it make to you, okay?
It doesn't.
They also
don't live rent-free in my head.
I also don't care about Dak Prescott.
No, I didn't say you should care about him, but I'm saying that was a ridiculous risk to take over a stupid effing tattoo.
Well, that's just like your opinion, man. Thanks for the call, Jerome. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160.
Who needs them?
Name the movie that one's from. That's just like your opinion, man.
The Big Lebowski.
There you go. It's a Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. More coming up. We'll talk more about 240,000 people who died waiting for National Health Service. And still to come, our number two story.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
U.S. USA News update. Former top infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci doesn't foresee a repeat of 2020's COVID scenario. Speaking on ABC's This Week, he also ruled out the likelihood of a federal mask mandate despite a rise in cases.
We're having an uptick in cases, which is being reflected by an uptick about 17% or more in hospitalizations. There's no doubt that that is going on. It is likely that that will increase as we get into the fall.
President Biden voiced his wish for China's prosperity with the condition that their government abides by the rules. The president acknowledged the current economic challenges facing China and expressed anticipation for a meeting with Chinese President Xi. New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham's emergency order restricting public firearm carry in Albuquerque has faced an immediate legal challenge from the National Association for Gun Rights. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Producer in the house. I mean, it's interesting times here at the Free Talk Live studio. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's me, Captain.
It's me, Nikki.
And me, Rich E. Rich.
We've been talking about this story out of the UK. Or we've been trying to.
Have we?
We've been trying to talk about the story of the UK. We've been talking about.
We mentioned it.
Way too many other things. I should make a note about what Jerome talked. Anyway, I'll get back to that.
Dak Prescott and his tattoo.
I want to be sedated.
Jerome, you're a lot of things. Entertaining is one of them.
Occasionally.
Occasionally, yeah. Out of the UK, almost 240,000 people died in the past 2 years waiting for National Health Service care.
Almost, but it's free.
Almost a quarter of a million people died in the past 2 years while waiting for hospital treatment in the NHS. Freedom of Information requests made by the Labour Party found that among 35 acute NHS trusts, 30,611 people had died during 2022 while on the waiting list. The 35 trusts represent 25% of the total nationally. Among the three quarters of trusts that did not respond were some of the largest in the country. Labor said, that's the Labor Party, said that extrapolating the figures to include all 138 trusts, an estimated 120,695 people died in 2022 while waiting for care.
It's a very precise estimate.
Yeah, it's oddly specific. The previous year was almost as bad, with 117,000 patients dying.
But we should do that here, right?
No. I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with the
U.S. healthcare system.
The U.S. subscription, medical subscription service, because it's not a healthcare system. Okay. They just want you to be a subscriber.
But you're talking about health insurance now, right?
Well, yeah. In cooperation with government, health care providers don't. Right, they don't provide health care. They provide medical services that, and they're incentivized to gain subscribers.
Yeah, so
not fix you.
I really like that New Hampshire doesn't fine people for not having health insurance, because that opens up a whole nother market to health insurance alternatives and different kinds of, like, actual subscription services that are actually a lot better and a lot less expensive. Coming from a healthcare provider,
right.
I don't work with insurance. I refuse to, because all insurance does is screw providers over, and I can only see it being worse in the UK, and that's probably, this to me sounds like a shortage of healthcare providers and of clinics and things like that.
Well, this is what happens when you nationalize healthcare. There was a whole lot of screaming in the last decade or so from the U.S. people. Single-payer healthcare. We need to nationalize health. Blah, 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 blah. We need what they have in Canada or what they have in this country or that country. And it's like, have you taken a look at how that actually works? Because
yeah, and it's not any better in Canada.
This is what happens when you do that.
And in Canada, they're starting to euthanize people.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it has come to. That's the next stage.
Which, and let me be clear, I do think if people want to die, there should be an easy way to do that. But it seems like in Canada, I mean, they're just like really encouraging it. Like, oh, you're a military vet that has PTSD. Have you thought of killing yourself?
Why don't you kill yourself?
You're going to be such a burden on this national healthcare system.
Yeah.
The best service you can provide your country
they're appealing to their sense of national pride.
Yeah.
Like, you can help out your fellow Canadian by killing yourself.
It's disgusting. Yeah, and they're doing the same thing with old people. Yeah. And listen, like I said, if you're old and terminally ill and you're just like, I've lived my life, I've lived a good life, it's time, it's my time, I want to go with peace and dignity.
Yeah.
I absolutely think that everyone has that right to make that decision. But I don't think if somebody's, like, you know, struggling with mental health issues or PTSD, it should be encouraged. I think it's like, okay, let's try therapy or, like, literally anything else besides
that costs
very
more.
First thing. Well, we could euthanize you.
As a result of well over a decade of austerity that began during the last Labour government following the 2008 global financial crash, the NHS has been eviscerated to a point where it cannot provide timely treatment to millions of people. As the trusts were not asked to provide cause of deaths in the Freedom of Information requests, it is unknown how many lives could have been saved had care been provided sooner. There are now a record 7.6 million people on the waiting list in England alone.
That's crazy.
You mentioned the possibility or probability of a shortage. With all that money they're collecting in taxes, could they not build a new facility? Hire more doctors?
Well, I think the path.
It costs too much to pay the bureaucracy behind it.
Oh, okay.
And I think that might be it. I don't know what the going rate for any healthcare provider is in the UK. I'm probably going to assume that you're paid better in the US to be a physician.
Okay.
But I don't know that for a fact, but I just can't. That might be a big issue if people aren't being paid enough. I mean, like, I'm just going to be honest. It sucks to be a nurse. It sucks to be a doctor. And I can only imagine working under a socialized healthcare system just makes it even more of a disaster.
Does it?
It sounds like it.
It sounds like they get paid and there's less responsibility because they get paid no matter what.
Right. There's no incentive to provide actual health care. There's no incentive for them to do things in a timely fashion. There's no incentive for them to not have a backup of 7.6 million people in England alone.
That's what I was saying.
With a population of 56 million, mind you, is England's population. So you do the math on that. I was told there'd be no math.
I don't want to.
The NHS is run by devolved administrations in Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland, with their waiting lists also at record levels. The homicidal policies put in place by the Conservative government under Prime Minister Boris Johnson during the pandemic resulted in over 230 deaths and contributed massively to the surge in waiting list deaths. The roughly 120,000 waiting list deaths in 2021 and in 2022 is double the 60,000 patients who died in the same situation in 2017 and 2018. So as a result of their pandemic policies, they've actually doubled the number of deaths.
Yeah. No, I get it. I'm just, again, if it's single payer and they're collecting all that tax money anyway, right, like then this is avoidable.
Also, single payer is such a BS term.
But no one's going to stop them from spending the money, right? You build more hospitals, you hire more doctors or however you want to do it, right? And then you tax the citizenry. And are they going to complain? Or they're not going to revolt over that. They should, but they won't.
Under the NHS Constitution, patients, apparently this is in their own constitution,
okay,
the NHS, the National Health Service Constitution, patients should not wait more than 18 weeks for treatment. But this commitment has long been consigned to the scrap heap. Currently, 2 in 5 patients wait longer than 18 weeks to receive health care.
That's a long wait no matter what.
18 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's 4.5 months.
I'd be all into the gray and black market for my health care at that point.
I mean,
if you can afford it.
Well, okay, but
you're
like
getting taxed, you know, you're already getting taxed to pay for this.
Sure. Thing. Yeah. But I mean, you know,
how much do you have left over to pay for real health care?
18 weeks. Good question. For what though? Because say, like, if I need to go to the emergency department for whatever reason, I mean, you just show up. Yeah, you might wait there for like 6 hours, but you can still get treatment, within the next couple of days. So is this for sure? I mean, I just wish this article.
Surgeries, cancers.
Yeah, like I just wish this kind of went into more details.
A July article in the Sunday Post noted that a person waiting for care in the Ayrshire and Arran Trust in Scotland had to wait nearly 7 years for their medical needs to be properly addressed.
I mean, at that point, it's like,
dude, take a trip to South America.
Yeah,
you need to do some medical tourism.
That's what I'm saying. I'd be all about the gray and black market at this point if I needed something. And, you know, they're like, nope, sorry. It's like, no,
and I mean,
I'm going to go elsewhere.
And even, like, the 7 years thing, I mean, like, I need more details on that as well, because I know some people that are living in the United States who, you know, they see their doctor frequently, but the doctor just, oh, maybe it's anxiety, oh, maybe you're making it up, and they kind of just blow
you're
off.
Guessing.
Like, you know, they do, you know, I did a CT, and I, you know, ran your labs, and I couldn't find anything, so you must be making it up. We don't know what's going on.
You're a woman. So, have you tried losing weight?
You're a hypochondriac.
Yeah, exactly. So they just, like, write people off.
Have you tried calming down?
So I'm sure there are people in the United States who, like, had been begging their doctor for care for 7 years, and then finally they found somebody else who would treat their symptoms or whatever it is.
Well, in the United States, though, if you wanted to, you could just go find another doctor.
Exactly, yeah. So even within the actual health insurance system, I mean, whatever health insurance I have, I mean, I state to state, I can choose.
I would like to change my primary.
Yeah, like you can change your primary. And like I was saying, with the health insurance alternatives, especially in New Hampshire, I mean, one, you don't need anything at all. You can just go to a doctor that's cash pay, or actually any doctor can be cash pay. I mean, they'll take your money. It doesn't matter if you have health insurance or not. So it just really opens up to a lot more options of different providers.
Right.
Because I don't like my doctor, so I fired her and I hired a new doctor.
Right.
You know?
And that's the point, I guess, that I want to drive home is that this, people call it single payer, this government sponsored healthcare results in this. Less choice and longer waiting times.
Market inefficiencies.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. In what planet, in what universe do you think this is a good idea?
Yeah, and I mean, like, when it comes to being able to set your own prices as a provider, like, so say I'm a midwife and, you know, the going rate for midwifery care is, say, like $5,000, and I'm like, you know what? I don't care if that's what everybody else is charging. I think I'm not going to take anybody for less than $7,000.
Yeah.
So, but if people want, if they like me and they want my care, or if all of the other midwives are full in the area, they might pay $7,000. And I'm like, I don't care because that's what it's worth for me.
Right.
So say if you're a provider and you don't have that option, you're just getting paid what you're getting paid no matter what. If you're super burnt out, you have a really high patient caseload. You know what? It's not worth it to do this for $90,000 a year anymore. Like,
right.
I want to get paid more, but I can't. So I'm going to go join a different industry that will either pay me more or have less stress or whatever.
Right.
You know, it doesn't really mitigate that sort of burnout of people having the freedom to set their price.
The irony is that healthcare in the United States of America changed. The incentive used to be correct. And that is that people would get together with like a friendly society, something like that. They would get together and they would pay a doctor's salary for a year. And the incentive for the doctor was to make them all healthy. And if they were all healthy, they would get paid. And they would stop getting paid when they were ill. And this incentivized the doctor to find cures, not get them on a subscription plan, right?
Yeah.
The irony is that that all changed when doctors got together and lobbied the government to create laws that said things like, oh, well, you need to blah, 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 blah. And this is how everything we see today, the whole insanity of what's known as the insurance, the medical insurance industry in the United States, that's how it all came about. The incentive is now on its head. Doctors now only have incentive to get you on a subscription plan to their favorite pharmaceutical company.
Yeah, and people are so sick nowadays. Like, it's just normal, and it's like everybody's, you know, the government and the FDA, they're in the medical industrial complex. They're all in cahoots with each other, right? So we're being fed toxic food, all of the food that's, you know, subsidized by the government, like the wheat, like the corn, that's all GMOs. It's all sprayed with glyphosate. All of these things are giving us cancer, giving us IBS, giving us all of these sort of neurological
gluten intolerance.
Diseases, you know, like all of these things that are making people really, really sick. I mean, like, you look at processed foods and it's like Red 40, corn syrup, all this stuff that is super toxic. And then you go to the doctor, they prescribe you more pills that are, guess what? Toxic. So it's just this, like, vicious cycle of people consuming things that are making them sick, and it's just, it's normal nowadays.
That sort of answers the captain's question, right? Who would call for single-payer health care? Sick people that can't afford it in the current system.
Right.
Well,
right.
That's not my problem.
It's not your fault, but that's why they're calling for it.
When's the last time?
That's why I don't have health insurance.
When's the last time the medical industry announced a cure for something?
The COVID vaccine.
That wasn't a cure, though. It didn't work.
All right. Well, they announced it.
They didn't announce it as a cure.
I don't know. Polio?
Okay, so what year was that?
I don't
know. 1920?
Right.
I don't know.
I don't even know.
Like,
yeah,
like technology. Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's my point exactly. I mean, you know, hot girls in bikinis cures that mostly.
Yeah, right. Not for everybody, unfortunately.
Well.
Uh-oh. Speaking from experience.
I'm not even going to dive into that. But what I'm saying is technology over the last 100 years has increased, I don't know by what number of X, what factor of X it has increased, but it's been amazing. And it's going to continue to double and double and redouble the longer time goes on. Why hasn't medical technology kept pace?
Do you know why?
Because there's no incentive to.
Well,
there's no incentive to. They want you sick and paying by the month.
But not even just that. There was a doctor, and I can't think of his name for the life of me, but he was a doctor. Was he the cancer guy?
Oh, no.
No. But it was a doctor that literally cured cancer, and it wasn't like, oh, you just go on this vegan diet or whatever. No, he literally, like, developed a medication that cured cancer. People were coming to his clinic, and this was in the 90s, too. Like, this was a while ago. People were coming to his cancer clinic. He was curing people of cancer. He was literally saving people's lives. The feds raided his clinic, like, 8 different times. They put him on trial several times. Like, they did everything they could to try to get this man in prison for curing cancer. And he was trying to spread the word about it, and they just kept shutting him down, shutting him down, shutting him down. And that, you know, that's why, because when there are people who are like, I care more about helping people than I do about money or whatever, they either get murdered by the government or they get raided, or they get thrown in jail. Like,
Something is fabricated.
You know, even when there are people who, you know, are don't care about money, it doesn't matter because
I know. I have family members that have participated in what's known as medical tourism.
Okay,
somebody needed some dental work. It was too expensive. Like even with the insurance that they had from their employer, the dental work they needed done was too expensive. It was, you know, outside of whatever they officially cover, and so it was going to be too expensive. They sold a couple of household items, took a trip to Mexico, and got it done for one quarter the price. And so that happens here in the United States.
And the people who are calling for socialized medicine, right, are living paycheck to paycheck, and they suggest that, oh no, just take a trip to Peru, right? Doesn't resonate, right? Like, I can barely afford to go to the grocery store, and you're telling me to get medical coverage, I now have to make it to Peru or wherever?
I understand that it doesn't resonate with them, but it's also because they're being ignorant of what's causing the problem.
Well, ignorant, yes, but they don't know.
Right.
And if we're going to explain it to them, right, there ought to be a solution for them to wrap their head around, and it needs to resonate with those that can't afford it.
Well, again, the information is out there. You know, I can't provide a specific solution to every individual, obviously, but healthcare providers can't, real healthcare providers, right? What bugs me the most about the U.S. healthcare system is the lack of inclusion of natural remedies.
Okay.
On any level, like all, we'll call within the system doctors. Don't use natural remedies as part of their process.
Well, and you've already said why. Because they're not incentivized to do so. They're incentivized to get people on prescription.
Well, even if you're trying to go to, like, a chiropractor or, you know, like a homeopath or any sort of alternative medicine doctor, a lot of that isn't covered by insurance, even midwifery care. So if you want to have a baby in the hospital, that's going to run you $15,000 to $30,000, maybe more. If you want to hire a midwife, it's definitely under $10,000.
We've got some callers holding. So, let's get to some of those right now. Let's go to Sally in California. You're on Free Talk Live.
Holla at your boy.
Squidward.
You know, the market, though, will be a kind of government, you know, that it's uses aggression.
Voice.
But unlike democracy, it'll be evolutionarily profitable. And you know, and you want to know what the judicial system will be like in the true market?
Well, nobody can know, so not even you can know.
I do. It'll be raw, unbridled reputation.
My vision
of the crypto reputation system, where everybody's forced to participate. And it'll even take over
force doesn't exist in a free market, so no one would be forced to participate.
Say that again.
Force.
What doesn't exist?
Force. Yes. Aggression.
You're kidding. No, you
don't control your reputation, though, Captain. You don't control your reputation, though.
Well, you can have influence on it.
Yeah, but if other people have decided, right, they're not forcing you into a reputation system, you just have a reputation.
Or you have no reputation at all.
Your reputation will be, you don't own your reputation, number one. It's just like IT. The market will own it. So as far as the crypto reputation block system, I can just volunteer you into it by just talking about you.
It's like having a Yelp review for yourself, right? You don't control your own Yelp reviews. All you can control is the bit of influence you have on it.
So there's no force there.
And it'll be totally open if you want to talk.
But again, there's no force there.
Yeah. No, but you have to. So how do you libertarians deal with the fact of like a utilitarian scenario, like the trolley car, or even pollution? You guys can't even deal with pollution, let alone like children.
What are you talking about?
I think he's just like saying random things and rambling and incoherent.
The fact that pollution is a type of aggression, even though it's a microaggression.
So even let's stop there. Stop right there.
We'll talk about pollution.
We'll talk about pollution. So you are correct. Pollution isn't a microaggression.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Okay.
So let's.
Okay,
let's
that's where you guys have issues. It's where there's evolutionary profitable aggression.
So help
just
me.
Just like pollution.
Help me with pollution. I want to solve this pollution issue. Right?
Yeah.
Like
with reputation.
I barbecue, and the smell of my barbecue wafts over the fence and pollutes my neighbor's backyard.
It depends on your neighbor's reputation and on how damaging it'll damage your reputation. If it'll
vegans,
damage your reputation,
the smell of meat just drives them bananas.
Yeah. So if he's a high reputation individual, he will voice his dissatisfaction, and he can punish you for it.
What do I owe
and
him?
And it'll be proportional to like what the market thinks as. What disutility you're causing to what my prime objective is.
Okay.
So I think the reputation system will converge. So I think value is objective, right? So your reputation will converge.
No, value is subjective, and we're not going to go over this again. So I reject your premise.
Yeah, you don't even understand subjective because it doesn't mean differ from people to people and they make a transaction.
Haven't we literally gone over this?
Yeah, we have.
No, we have. That's why.
So many times.
But you heard him say it.
Because he doesn't understand it.
You heard him say it. He's trying to.
All right. That's enough.
He's trying to.
So annoying.
He's trying to build his case off of a faulty premise.
Right.
Yeah.
But I reject
your
premise.
We're not doing that. So.
We're done.
Bye.
Let's move right along. Let's go to unscreened caller. What's your name, please? Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. Unscreened caller going once, going twice. All right, maybe your phone's on mute. I don't know. If you can hear me, give us a call back. Maybe we'll get a better connection. Moving right along, let's go to Dana in Michigan. Dana, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi.
Hi.
Does Scooter, does he know you can buy a date?
Buy a day? I don't know what that means.
Date.
Oh,
you mean like companionship?
Yes, so he doesn't have to call about utilities every single Sunday.
What is it, utilitarian?
Utilitarianism.
It is. Ridiculous. If he would only listen once you guys post the show to what he sounded like, maybe he would just go away.
Are you offering him a date, Dana?
Fire. Pardon me?
Are you offering him a date?
No. Are you kidding? I don't even know what he looks like. And he sounds
probably for the best.
But you know what? So you mentioned if he only listens, like, after the fact to what he sounds like. I think he might, because that's why.
Dana, I suspect you had more to say. Can you hang on, Dana?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put you back on hold. We'll bring you back.
It's your boy.
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up, and we'll get to the heart of the matter of what Dana wanted to talk about.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.